Here we go. Verse 10, and immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Verse 11, then a voice from the heavens, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Verse 12, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, verse 16, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. So quite a bit is going on in these first 20 verses. When we look at the very beginning, Mark says this, the beginning or the foundation, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That word gospel means good news or good message of victory. So for instance, the words, deeds, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it all means, that's the gospel. Now in this time period, that word gospel was also used by the people for the emperor, because the emperor was considered God, right? So when you looked at Nero, when you looked at Caesar, they were looked at as gods. And their birth was a time to proclaim the gospel, right? The good news. Matter of fact, there was a letter about Caesar that said, the beginning of the gospel of Caesar Augustus. So the good news. Church, we have good news, right? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is good news. Amen? Amen. And that good news brings life, right? It brings a life that no emperor can bring. The emperor ruled with tyranny. Jesus rules with love. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then he goes on to give two references from the Old Testament. As it is written in the prophets, first from Malachi, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. Who do you think that messenger was? John the Baptist. I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. Whose way is he preparing? Jesus. So John the Baptist is preparing the way for Jesus. Then he says, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Now it's kind of interesting that there'd be a scripture reference to preparing the way and then repentance for the remission of sin. Church, I believe that we prepare the way for Jesus in our life when we repent of our sin. And repentance is not a feeling. A lot of times we think, oh, I've got to feel this way. Repentance isn't a feeling, it's an action. Right? It's something we do. It's not something we feel. A lot of times we want to say, I feel bad about my sin. I feel bad that I did this. Repentance isn't a feeling, church. It's an action. The word repent means to turn. So when I'm doing something that is dishonoring, displeasing to the Lord, sin, I'm going in this direction. And I say, oh, I like this. This is fun. All of a sudden, I get convicted, and I'm going to repent. Father, forgive me for this, and I'm going to go another way. That's what repentance is. It's not just a feeling. It's an action. I'm actively going to go a different way. And that's difficult because we as a people at times can be feeling based, right? I base things on the way I feel. I feel like this. I feel like that. Today I feel like I could give this up, or I feel like I don't want to do that anymore. Repentance is not a feeling. Repentance says, I'm stopping this. I'm done. I give it up. I give it over to Jesus. Amen? And that prepares the way. When we have a heart of repentance, it's preparing a way for the Lord in us. I want to be a person that prepares a way. And the idea that Isaiah was talking about was if there was a forest, you'd knock down the trees in preparation for a way to go through. For us, we have to prepare a way, knock down the stuff that interrupts our lives. I'm going to knock that down and prepare a way for the Lord to be in my life. It is a turning. It's an action. For instance, and I want to talk about this just a little bit more because it's so important, church. If I lived in New York, praise the Lord, I don't. But if I lived in New York, well, New York is actually a beautiful state. But if I lived in New York and someone said to me, move out to L.A., and I said, okay, I'll do that, but I stay in New York, have I done anything? No, I haven't moved yet. I haven't taken the action to get on a plane or get in my car and come out to L.A. and live there. I can say while I'm in New York, I'm going to go to L.A., but if I don't go, I've never taken the action. Repentance is that. It's not just, I say I'm going to do this, but it's the action of doing it. You change from where you are to where God wants you to be. So when John came, verse 4, baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance, of a change of action for the remission of sins. When we change the way we function, right? When we say, God, I want you to have control. Now there's a change in our heart, and sin is being cleansed. Amen? Yeah. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He must have been on a fast. Yeah, John the Baptist fast. But it's kind of unique because that was the clothing of the prophets. If you look back and see what Elisha wore in 2 Kings 1:8, we see that he was hairy and had a belt around his waist. Kind of the same idea, camel's hair and a belt around his waist. Didn't care. All he needed to be was covered. So it's kind of the same idea, that prophetic anointing. Verse 7, and he preached saying, there comes one after me who's mightier than I. This is John preaching about Jesus, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. Now, he says, I baptize you with water. Okay, there's a baptism, immersion, saying, I want to surrender. I want to show to everyone that I'm giving up my old life, going down. When we baptize, we have a baptismal right here. When we do baptism, the people that are being baptized are professing, I'm making a heart change. I no longer want to be walking against the Lord. I want to walk with him. And so I'm professing that. And so I want to go down in the water, which means it's like I'm surrendering my life to Jesus, I'm being buried, and I'm coming back up, and I'm being made anew in him. It's a profession of faith. And so John is saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but, listen to this, he, which is Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Church, that's the baptism that I want, right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, matter of fact, in John 14, that I won't leave you as orphans. He said, but I will send the Holy Spirit. After Jesus died and was resurrected, paid the penalty for sin, the Holy Spirit was given for all of us. So when you make a decision, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit comes in, right? Takes up residency. You know what I'm talking about? Takes up residency in our life. And then there's this baptism, this overflow that he wants to provide for us. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, he says that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power for what? To be a witness. To be a witness. That our words would be as if they were his words. Amen? Come on. So then, after John gives this declaration about who Jesus is, we come to verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. By the way, John was a relative of Jesus. He knew about him. And it says that after John, because John was baptizing, this is so good, I forgot to even mention this, verse 5. And all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized. Do you know that both Jew and Gentile were coming out and being baptized? All the land. Something incredible was taking place as John was ministering, speaking the word. People were coming. It wasn't just a trickle. There were a lot. All the land of Judea and all of Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. So Jesus came out to be baptized, not to confess sin. But he says, Jesus later said, to fulfill all righteousness, show us a way. He was obedient to the Father. And we see this in verse 10. After he'd been baptized, immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting or ripping. It wasn't just a moving away that it could be moved back. Something changed in the heavens. That word for parting is like a lightning bolt. Something happened in the heavens. Something ripped. And the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, or in the form of a dove. I don't know what that looked like. I mean, we get pictures of this dove landing on Jesus. The Holy Spirit came upon him in an incredible way. I don't think there's like this, you know, dove landing on him. But there's this sense of something from heaven coming upon Jesus, and now he is full and ready to minister. By the way, church, you and I need to have a baptism, an immersion of the Holy Spirit, so that we can minister faithfully. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I believe that when we come to the Father, that's his word for us as well. You're my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. For all of us. He didn't play favorites. I know some of us, I'm his favorite. In your mind you are, and that's a good thing. But God doesn't have favorites. He loves us all equally. Verse 12. By the way, there just in this chapter, there are 8 immediatelys. In the book of Mark, there are over 40 immediatelys. Mark was focused on the things that happened quickly. This took place right away, as soon as, immediately. And as soon as, or immediately, the Spirit drove or sent him into the wilderness. Check this out, church. And that word for wilderness is like desert. How many of you after you made a decision for Jesus, had some difficulties in your life shortly thereafter. Yeah, that's called a desert experience. It's a wilderness kind of a thing. And I believe what happens in those instances is that the enemy wants nothing more for you than to give up, wants you to turn back and show you how bad you really are. And God wants to show you how good you are in him. So when that wilderness experience happens, don't turn back. Don't say, oh, I guess God's not there. No, God is here, and he's helping me through this. And so for Jesus, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, into the desert, and he was there in the desert or wilderness 40 days. 40 days. Have you heard that term before? Yeah, think about it. 40 days. The Jews were 40 years in the wilderness, right? Moses was 40 years in the backside of the desert. Moses fasted and prayed for 40 days. There was that sense that something about that 40 that it has to do with a testing, a preparation. Jesus was being prepared, but he was being tempted by Satan. I love it in Hebrews where it says that Jesus understands the things that we want go through because he went through that same kind of testing. He didn't give in. He didn't say, okay, I want to make this quick, so Satan, I'll take your plan and I'll jump off this and watch my father keep me from falling. Now I'm going to go, Jesus said, I'm going to go through all the way to the cross because that was the plan of the Father, that he would bear our sin on the cross. And because he was innocent, resurrection took place. And now you and I have resurrection life. Come on. So he was tempted by Satan. He was there with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Do you know that when we're tempted, if we're in the Word, God ministers to us in the midst of those temptations? So when you're being tempted, don't run from God, run to him. Amen? Don't run from him. Don't say, I can't believe God is doing this to me. Say, I want to get closer to you, God, and allow his Word to get in your heart because he'll minister to you through his Word. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching, there's that word again, the gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Kingdom of God deals with a relationship that we can have with God. It's not like all of a sudden here comes Redlands is like the place where the kingdom of God is. Or I can hardly wait till I get to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within us. Right? When we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, the kingdom of God has come. It's within us. And now that kingdom of God, we are living that out, church. We're living in a relationship with him. That's kingdom living. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, that's kingdom living. The kingdom of God comes. So Jesus said that John says that he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, this is what Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and what? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Right? Prepare the way. Repent and believe in the gospel. So repent, turn from those things that are in opposition to this word. Turn from, repent, and believe in the gospel, right? Believe in the good news. Believe that there's victory in Jesus. So there were 32 different prayer requests last week, and we started I started on Sunday night, but I handed those out to those that are part of our prayer ministry on Fridays. By the way, if you want to come and pray on Friday from 12 to 1, come. And then there were a couple others that asked if they could have that. We've been praying for those. There are some issues that we need to be healed of. And there were some issues that probably weren't put on those cards. But we all know, right? I want to challenge us that this week we'd make a decision that those things that we know in our life that are in opposition to God, you know. I don't have to tell you. You know. I know those things in my life. As I've been fasting, and I mentioned this last week was probably the most difficult week for me because my flesh, right, the natural man, cried out. I was getting ticked about things, right? I wanted to. I know you don't know what I'm talking about. But I was easily agitated. And I know that when that happens, what's taking place is I'm learning to discern the difference between my flesh, the natural man, and the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God comes in peace, right? He comes to speak words of comfort and exhortation in love. Amen? The things I was feeling was not in love. I'm just being honest. It was not in love. I wanted to thump, right? I wanted to, man, this and you, that, and come on. And I didn't. Put a muzzle over it. I want the kingdom of God have full reign in my life. And I know we do too. Kingdom living takes place when we are living in the Spirit, when we're allowing Holy Spirit freedom in us. So my encouragement is to, for each one of us, even when we walk out of here, Lord, I know this. I've been dealing with this for whatever it's been. Maybe it's been days, weeks, months, years, decades. I don't know. I want to put a nail in the coffin of this thing, Lord. And I want that dead thing to stay dead. I don't want that thing to raise up its ugly head and come back and haunt me. Right? I want to be done. Repent and believe in the gospel. I want to look at it. I'm going to come to verse 18, and we're going to end with this. And as he, Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, now listen to this, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. Their profession was fishing for fish, right? The more fish they got, the more they'd sell, the more they could buy another boat, have more, and be able to prosper, right? They were fishermen. Jesus said, give that up, set that aside, and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they thought about it for a little bit, and they thought about it a little bit more. No, that didn't say that, does it? It says what? Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, they left their nets and followed Jesus. They were all in, right? They were all in. They said, okay, got it. We're all in. We'll do that. How about us? Here's a question that I have for us. Do we come to church for us? do we come to church because we want to get built up in Jesus? Do we come to church because, man, I had 6 days in the world and I need one day with Jesus? Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. This church should not be for us. This church should be for those outside the church, right? This church should be for people outside the church that need Jesus. So when we come, here's my challenge, church. When we come here, we come ready, right? We come ready to worship. We don't drag in at 10:15, 10:20, 10:30, right? We come ready. How many of you have a job and you're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock Monday through Friday? And when you're late, you get reprimanded. Aren't you glad you don't get reprimanded when you come late to church? Because we're a family. We love you. But when you come expecting, man, I'm ready. I'm expecting, right? I'm going to come ready to worship. And by the way, because this church isn't just for us, but it's for those outside, what are we doing throughout the week to share that with others? Right? He called us to be fishers of men, not tenders of our own net, right? I'm just going to take care of, oh, isn't my net look good? Look at my net. Oh, I've written in my net quite a bit, right? Oh, it's pretty good. The binding started coming loose on my net, and so I fixed it. Doesn't it look good? Where's your net? Oh, you didn't bring your net today. I bet you feel bad. That's what we think. But really, we need to be sharing the good news with others. I used to say every member a minister, but Jesus says every member a missionary. Every member a missionary. I challenge you, start praying that God would bring people across your path that don't know Jesus, that haven't heard the gospel, right? They haven't heard the good news. Now you be good news. That doesn't mean, oh, you know what? You really need to come to my church. My pastor is, he speaks the word. Here, read this and come. Right? What's that? That's not a real, why would that person come? Unless the Holy Spirit just went, get over there. Relationship, church, relationship. Begin to talk to people. I'm convicted by what I'm saying. I'm convicted because, truthfully, I say my ministry is feeding the flock. That's wrong. Forgive me. My ministry can't just be about the flock. I, too, need to build relationship with people that don't know Jesus. But they're sinners. I could be tempted. What are you talking about? Come on. Are we adults? Come on. Are we adults? Are we grown up in Jesus? Come on. That's why it's important to be in this on a regular basis. Daily be in the Word. So that when I'm out there with people that don't know Jesus, no matter what they say, it's not going to bother me. Right? I'm not going to be bothered. We shouldn't be, church. We should not be bothered by people. Oh, yeah, do you mind, you know, if I smoke this cigarette? No. Let's talk about Jesus, right? Or let's just, do you mind that I'm drinking, or that, man, I had an affair, or that I'm divorced, or, you know, whatever that is, right? And we, oh, no, I can't be around you. The music that I listen to, who cares? Right? Come on, church. We think oh, I can't be around them because they'll affect me. The idea is that we're around them so that we affect them. Right? That's every member a missionary. I want to affect people around me that don't know Jesus so that those people that the church is for come. Right? Because if not, we're just going to have our good old Jesus time. And we already know it. Right? I'll encourage you, and we'll be encouraged. We'll leave here. Oh, that was a good word. And by Tuesday, oh my gosh, I need to be back in church again. Oh, I'm just getting beaten up in the world. Come on. One of the reasons we get beat up in the world is because we're not in this. The world is too much around us, not the word in us. So church, get the word in us so that when we get out in the world can't affect us. We've got the word in us. And now the word's taken root. And when we begin to speak, we're speaking life. We're not speaking death. We're not speaking, oh, poor, poor me, this and that and the other thing. And, oh, I can't believe it. Hey, I can't be around you, you know, because you're not a Christian and I'm not supposed to, you know, unequally yoked, right? By the way, that's not what that means. The whole idea of being unequally yoked talked about a marriage relationship. Didn't talk about friendship. Jesus wants us to have friends with people that don't know him. It's just the way it is. So that they can know him. So they can have freedom, right? How many of you in here have no problems at all? Raise your hands. Yeah, right? So it's not about sharing that we have no problems. We do, right? All of us go through issues. We have problems in life. It happens. But who is the peace in the midst of our problems? Jesus. Who helps us through those problems? Jesus. Who's going to help our friends that don't know him through their problems? Jesus. How will they know if we don't tell them? Right? So, all in. Let's be all in to share Jesus in a natural, practical way. And that may not mean you telling someone about Jesus immediately. It might just mean you being their friend and them seeing your life and them asking you, wow, how come you don't cuss when you drop the hammer on your foot? You know, how come you and your spouse don't yell and scream at each other like me and my spouse, right? Because they get to know you. They get to hang out with you. How come? How come? And we don't say, because I've been married so long and I just love my wife. Nah, I just ignore things when they drop on my toe. No, because Jesus has changed my heart. Because before Jesus, when stuff dropped on my toe, when I stubbed my toe, man, I was just this, anyway, a flow of incredible words that typically aren't in the dictionary. Because that was in my heart. But now Jesus is in my heart, and so the things that flow out are what he's put there. And people see that, and they want to know. But we can be a Christian and not have those things flow out, because this isn't in. Church, get this in. We handed out probably 40 life journals. Use them. Right in here, the readings. Do the New Testament. Today we're in Luke 19. Powerful, powerful word from the Lord. Read Luke 19, tomorrow Luke 20. Just do the New Testament if you have to. But get the word in you and watch what God will do. Amen? Amen? All right. Let's pray. If I could have our worship team come up. That term, repent, it's something we do. It's something we say, I want to turn from my old life. I want to turn from depending upon self, and I want to depend on Jesus. If you're here today and you want to repent, you want to turn from you trying to have control over your life and allow Jesus control. That's what making him Lord is. I want Jesus to be my Lord. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand and say, yeah, I want to repent. I want to turn from my old way of living. I want Jesus. If that's you, would you just say, yeah, that's me. I need Jesus. Lord, we recognize this morning that each one of us, there are areas in our life that we need to just repent and give it over to you. We want to turn from it. We want to make an action. It's not a feeling. It's an action, Lord. And we want to actively turn from those things that are in opposition to you. And we want to run towards you, Father, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I pray this week that we would be a people that would give you the freedom to guide us, to direct us, to help us to be an example to those around us, to speak life to others, that they would know that there's hope. In the midst of a troubled world, we have hope in Jesus. We have strength in Jesus. We have newness of life. We're different. And so we thank you for that, Lord. May we come next week prepared for what you have for us, fully and completely ready to be immersed in your word and to receive all that you have for us. We thank you for it, and we proclaim it now in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Let's stand up and end with a time of worship.